I want to, for a few minutes this morning, use some scripture out of the Old Testament. I thought the songs that were chosen this morning fit in very well with the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. And basically, the thought that I want you to remember is that we truly must depend upon the Lord. We get the idea sometimes that we're doing a pretty good job, that we're pretty good people, and that we know just how to get the job done. In many things, that's probably true. But I'm going to tell you, in the work of the Lord, we're never going to get so good that we know just exactly everything there is to be done. There's always something else out there. And he knows what that is. And he knows who it is that he needs to get the job done. What each one of us need to be able to do is to be able to say, as the old prophet did in the days of the old, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here I am. Take me and use me." And if we just can understand that the Lord will take us and use us if we will allow him to. And he's not asking us to be any more than what we are and what we can do with his help and his guidance and his direction. But we too many times, rather than seek to follow him and to allow him to lead us, we want to run ahead of him. And we want to do things our way. And we get the idea that we can do this. I tell people every once in a while, I'm just now starting, I guess, my 61st year of preaching. That's a lot of years. I don't care whose book you're talking about. But I can tell you with every bone there is about me this morning that I really don't know a lot more about preaching today than I did when I begun, other than that it still takes the Lord to get the job done. And probably I know that more now than I did then, that it really is what the Lord does and not what I do. We just sometimes cannot seem to get that grasp. In the Old Testament, there was a fellow that you've heard me preach about him before, and you've heard the message here again that I'm going to use. But the Lord had sent an angel unto him, and the angel came to him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto the angel, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Now, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? Now, let me just back you up a little bit. Gideon is out here, and he's slipping around trying to find enough food to survive. And they're in a very difficult time in their lives. And the Lord has allowed the enemy to basically have control of this people. And let me just assure you this morning that there's not a child of God here this morning who's exempt from some of the trials and the troubles that we've heard mentioned here this morning in our prayer request time. Whenever you think for a single second that you've got some kind of an exemption, or that you've got some kind of an armor or some kind of protection that's going to preclude you from being one of those people, you better be ready for a fall. I want you to know this morning that every one of us can be in that same boat. And so when people say, you know, let's pray for these people, we do need to remember to pray for them. And we need to ask God to help them, because not everything that's happening to them is punishment for something which they have done. We've got too many people today that got the idea, well, if I live close to the Lord, then these things won't happen to me. And obviously those people aren't living close to the Lord, so that's why they're happening to them. Let me just tell you firsthand that that is an erroneous concept. Gideon said, well, if the Lord is with us and I'm such a mighty man of valor, why then am I out here sneaking around and having to get out here of a night to find food? And why then, where is the Lord that led our fathers? And I've heard all these stories about how that the Lord led our forefathers up out of the land of Egypt, and he provided for them, and he gave them food, he gave them manna from heaven, he led them, he blessed them and everything. Where is he? I find every once in a while that there are circumstances that come into the lives of our people that if anybody's entitled to ask those questions, they are. Where is the Lord whenever these things are happening? The angel of the Lord said, you know what, Gideon? The Lord has a work for you to do, and you're going to lead this people, and I, the Lord, am going to deliver them, but you're going to lead them. Now keep in mind, Gideon is going to be the leader. He's not going to be the Savior. And get in your head today that you're not going to be the Savior. You're going to be the one who's going to do the leading. And you're going to be able to lead whenever that the Lord gives you the ability and the Lord gives you the direction and the Lord gives you the help. And you can just get out here and spin your wheels all you want to and try everything that every textbook ever says and every preacher has ever told you and every teacher has ever taught you. But until you listen to the Lord and you follow the Spirit of the Lord, you're wasting your time. Gideon said, Lord, to the angel of the Lord, he said, you know, I just find this difficult to believe that the Lord's going to take me, who am the poorest of the people and of the least likely to be the one to lead his people out of the situation they're in. And I need some proof. I want something to prove this. Now, I know that I can stand up here this morning and I can preach to you that it was wrong for Gideon to question the Lord. But I'll stand up here this morning and preach to you that even though there will be preachers who say it was wrong, and some of you may believe it was wrong for him to question the Lord, I'll guarantee that being a human being, there are times in our lives whenever that we question the Lord. That doesn't make us right. But we are human. And so Gideon said, I want some proof. And the angel said, okay, have way. And Gideon said, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. First of all, I want to prepare a meal for you. I want to be a proper host. And there are all kinds of things you could question about this. Where did all this come from? You know, because he goes and gets and he prepares this for the angel, and the angel proves that he's from the Lord. And then the Lord, then Gideon says, well, now I want something from the Lord to prove that I'm going to be the one who's going to do this. Now, I'm spending a lot of time in getting to where I want to go here, and so I'm going to go pretty fast once we get going here, which means you're going to have to go home and read this again. And the Lord says, all right, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And Gideon said, now here's what I want. I want to take a fleece out here and lay it on the ground. And in the morning, I want that fleece to be wet, but I want all the ground around it to be dry. Okay. And it happened. And Gideon said, well, I want to try one more thing. Now, you know, that could have just been a circumstantial circumstances there that are that brought this about. I'm not satisfied. Let's do just the opposite. This time I want all of the fleece to be dry and all the ground wet. Just reverse the whole thing. Okay, did it. And he accepted that. You know, there are times in our lives where that God proves himself to us over and over and over again. There are times whenever that God demonstrates his power in our lives and in the lives of those that we know. God performs the miracles that he's always been capable of performing. It's no big thing for him. My goodness, when you can just speak the world into existence, it's no big deal for him to do some little thing for us. But it's whether or not we're going to accept it once God proves himself to us. And so the Lord again speaks unto Gideon. He says, now then, I want you to take these people and we're going to go out and we're going to fight against the Midianites and the Amalekites. And so Gideon gathers together and he gets, 32,000? I've lost my number here. Yeah, 22, 10, 300. He gets all of these people, thousands of them together. And he's ready to go out to fight the battle. Gideon's got his marching orders. Now keep in mind that he's been skeptical up to this point in time about whether or not he's the one to do this and whether or not this is going to happen. I'd much rather have a person who's a little bit skeptical and a little bit overly cautious than I had those who just take out helter skelter and go right ahead blind as could bat and are going to do something no matter what. They'll make a bigger mess for somebody else to come along and have to clean it up than the person who's a little bit cautious and takes his time. And I'm talking about the Lord's work. I'm not talking about what you do out here in your everyday life. Most of you found that too. I tell people all the time that I used to tell my employees, they put erasers on pencils for a reason. I mean, that's because we make mistakes. Now, some of you have never made a mistake in your life. You're about as close to the Lord as anybody can ever get because you're just nearly that perfect. But I'm not there. I'm a far cry from it, and so I can preach from experience some of these things that Gideon was experiencing. Gideon takes his 32,000 plus men and he's ready to go to the battle. I want you to listen. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me and saying, mine own hand has saved me. Lord speaks to Gideon. He says, Gideon, you got too many men. You got all these men out here. They're ready to go to fight. They're ready to go to battle. But they're too many. And I'm going to tell you why. They're going to decide that by our own power and by our own forces, we were able to go out there and to defeat the Midianites and the Amalekites. Once I give them the battle, they're going to think they've done it themselves. I am amazed at how many times the church gets in their head of what they have done themselves. On the other extreme, I have a little church like Elkton Baptist Church that more often than not going to say, we're just one of the little bitty churches and we can't do much. Let me tell you something. You can do as much as any church that's in Bigville is. And most of the time you're doing more. This little lady that we visited last week, I found out probably that she had done more to help the homeless and the poor in that community than all the bigger churches in the whole town had. This one little old lady, 71 years old, because she cared about them. She was concerned about them. And when they didn't have a place to stay, they stayed in her motel for free. Went to Bigville and they didn't have time for them. Let me tell you something. This little church right here is a very generous church. Not only in money, but in giving of time and of talents and everything else. And we don't take a back seat to anybody. Amen. I mean that. Get that idea out of your head that just because, well, we're just a few little old poor people here and we can't do much. We've got the most important person here. That's the Lord. Now, I believe that with everything there is about me. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. Can we do what big deal is? No, we can't always do what they can do because they can do things that they shouldn't be doing. But we can too. We can get ourselves in trouble too. Now listen, get in. You've got too many men. So the first thing I want you to do is take all those that are afraid, send them back home. 22,000 out of 32,300, I believe it is. Maybe it's just 33,000 to start. Now, I used to have these all figured out in my head, and I didn't sit down and figure this out this time, Bart, so I shouldn't remember. We may have started with 33, and we're going to get down to 10, and then we're going to go down to 29,700. You got too many people. Send them back. All those who are afraid, let them go back home. 22,000 of them turned around and went home. Now let me tell you something. In any church that I've ever been in, not everybody that's a child of God gets in and works. Not everybody will listen to the Lord as he speaks to them. That some of them, you know, I used to say, you know, I've been in the churches where the church would just let me do anything I wanted to do as long as I did it. They weren't going to do it, but it was all right if I did. I don't like that. I want people who are listening to the Lord and will say, Lord, here am I, send me. And then let the Lord lead them. You'd be surprised what you can get done with the Lord. You still got too many people, get in. I would have turned around and looked and said, my goodness, look how many went back. I haven't got anyone left. And Gideon still had 10,000 there. And the Lord said, you still got too many. You're still going to think the same thing. We did it ourselves. Yeah. Look what I've done. The Lord said, I'm going to give you the victory. That's a fact. He's going to give it to him. But you're not going to be able to go out of here and say, we did it ourselves. Now, I want you to put them to one more test. You take them down here to the brook, down here to the stream. And all of those that get down and lappeth like a dog, you put them in one group, and the rest of them get down on their hands and knees and lap the water up, you put them in another group. So he does, and he's got 300 in one group, and he's got all the rest of them in another group. You know which group Gideon's going to take? Some of them say, oh, yeah, I know which one he's going to take because I've read it. Well, yeah, you do, if you've read it. Logically speaking, though, he's going to take the group he's got the most. But the Lord said, no. You're going to take those 300. And the rest of them, you send them on back. Send them back. And you take the 300, and then I will tell you what they are to do. And then I want you to say to them, when we get out there, you watch me. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to leave you with this. You watch me. Now, someone is real quick and they're going to get out of this by saying, well, I don't want to be looking at you. I want to be looking at the Lord. Gideon didn't say, you look at the Lord. The Lord said, you look at me. Because he was being led of the Lord. And whatever I do, you do it. Now, that's pretty powerful. I'd much rather be able to say, Joyce, to the people, hey, don't be looking at me. Look at the Lord. He's the perfect one. But you know what that does? That puts me in a spot to where I have to say, listen, I better have my ducks in order. I better be living my life. I need to be the example that people can see the Lord in me. And that's what the Lord wants of each one of us. Not just the preacher, but every child of God needs to be living so that people can look and see the Lord in them. Because you cannot see the Lord. You can look up there and see that picture, but I don't know whether that's right or not, Frank. I've always said that. He looks pretty Caucasian to me. And he wasn't. Pretty handsome picture. It's a good picture. I'm not being critical of the picture. It's a good picture. But it isn't what the Lord looks like, not according to the word of the Lord. That's too handsome. I look at that picture and I see a handsome man there. But that's not what the word of the Lord says about how he looked. But let me tell you something. People have every idea. The first time I ever saw him painted as a Negro, I about had a fit. I thought it was sacrilegious for a while. Well, they might have been closer to right than I am. Now, don't any of you have a fit at me? Because I said that. I didn't say he was a Negro. But now listen. What people can see is me and you. And what we need to understand is that when Gideon was being led of the Lord, and Gideon, again, he had some more proofs that the Lord was going to give him the victory before he ever went out there and before he made that statement. But time and again, the Lord had proved himself unto Gideon. And I am sure that for every single one of you as a child of God here this morning, there has been more than one time in your life that the Lord has demonstrated that he is the Lord and that he can do the things that he says he can do and that he will do what he promises to do if we will allow him to. But we can't do it by ourselves. I've listened probably 50 times this week, Karen and Tracy and you, and Pam. I think you may have even sung it, the song, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. I love that song. And I've listened to it, and I think it is so true that we can't. And people, we cannot do his work without his leadership and without following his direction and his instructions. Too many times we get this idea that if we just had more people, if we just had more of that, what we really need to be saying is, Lord, you take us, who we are, where we are, and what we are, and use us to get the work done. And he will do it, and he'll get the job done if we will just let him. If we'll let him. I'm going to quit right there. I guess I'm through anyway, so let's have a closing song this morning. I guess if I just have one thought I want you to remember, it was that the thing that Gideon was trying to, that the Lord was trying to get across to Gideon and to these people was, you cannot do it by yourself. It does take the Lord.